It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front, my Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to pass, I do not know. I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain, or plain, or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be. Perhaps today there are loving words which Jesus would have me to speak. There may be now in the paths of sin some wanderer whom I should seek. But Savior, if thou wilt be my guide, though dark and rugged the way, my voice shall echo the message sweet. I'll say what you want me to say.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Shaddix. What a great song in reference to our missions conference. But that song has nothing to do with missions alone, but with our lives in the will of God, whether it be in the local church or on a mission field, or whether it be in the pastorate or a bus captain or a driver or whatever it be. God has a plan for our life, and our greatest desire ought to be in the will of God, doing what He wants us to do, where He wants us to do it. Thank you for being here today. Open your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I'm not hearing all I need to hear for some reason or another. Acts chapter 10. Stan, we'll begin to read in verse number 1. I'll read several passages from this chapter so that you can get an overall understanding of what's taking place here in Acts chapter 10. I want to speak to you on the subject of an unsaved good man. An unsaved good man. And I'm reading about this man. His name is Cornelius. The Bible says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. God saw him. God heard him. But he was not a Christian. Now, God did not answer his prayers, because prayer is the privilege of a son or a daughter speaking to their heavenly Father. And he wasn't in the family of God. He wasn't saved. But God heard them and saw his gifts, and they came up as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, the angel said, and call for one Simon or Simeon or Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel spake unto Cornelius, and when the angel which spake to Cornelius was departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now Cornelius has heard what God has sent him. He's heard the message God has sent to him. He said, Cornelius, there's somebody over in Joppa that can tell you what you need to do. And immediately Cornelius chose three men, two of his servants and a soldier, and sent them to Joppa to find Peter and bring him back. Skip down to verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and of good report among all nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Now Cornelius has his family and his friends with him waiting to receive Peter. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now keep in mind, Cornelius was a good man. He was a religious man, but he was unsaved. He did not know how to approach God. He did not know what was required of him. And when he obeyed God and sent for Peter, Peter comes in. Cornelius does not know better. He just falls down and begins to worship Peter. But Peter took him up and saying, Stand up, for I myself also am a man. Peter is saying, Cornelius, I'm just a messenger. I'm not the one you're to worship. Stand up. Now skip over, if you will, to verse number 34. The Bible says, Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. For in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, ye know which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. We'll leave off reading there. I want to use this as the basis of our message today. An unsaved good man. Heavenly Father, help me today to make very plain this simple message. And may we understand that though we may have a reputation as a good person, that goodness is not good enough to save us. For we're all sinners, and we all need the Savior. Now, just as Cornelius needed Jesus, every man, woman, boy, and girl here today need to know Jesus as their Savior. Save every unsaved person in this building and on this property. We ask for your presence and your power today. Bring conviction because of our lost condition, that we might see our need. And help us to understand Jesus is our need. To receive him and know him as our Savior is the greatest need of every man, woman, boy, and girl. Now fill me with thy Spirit and help me to speak plainly and clearly thy words and save every unsaved person in this building. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've just read portions of the story of a good man, a very successful man, and a religious man. We've read the story of Nicodemus. And though he was a good man and successful in business, though he was a religious man, he was lost. He was unsaved. Had he died like he was, he would have gone to hell and not to heaven because he was unsaved. No dying man has ever received a doctor with any greater welcome than Cornelius received the Apostle Peter, because he knew that Peter had a message sent from God, a message that would fill that emptiness in his side. However, a doctor could not have helped Cornelius. His trouble was not a physical disease. Antibiotics could not cure Cornelius. The unrest inside of his heart and soul could not be removed by counseling. He needed divine intervention. His problem could only be cured by Calvary and by Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, in our message today, I want us to take a quick look at Cornelius himself. Verses 1 and 2 tells us he was a certain man to God. I like that. Out of all the people on the planet Earth, God had focused in on this one man. God took note of his life and his needs. God saw him individually. God knew where he lived. God knew him by name. God knew his job. And he knew for whom he worked. God had his address. May I stop right there and say a moment? God also knows you. He knows your name. He knows your condition. He knows your address. He knows where you work. He also knows your need. God also saw this man's heart, according to verse number 2. He was religious, but he was unsaved. He was religious, but he was unsaved. He feared God, and he led his family to reverence God. But he was unsaved. You see, Cornelius must have understood that there is a day of judgment coming. He feared God. He gave money to help the poor and the needy. The Bible says he gave much alms. Alms has to do with caring for the needy and the poor. And the Bible says he prayed to God always. It seems that everything should have been all right with Cornelius. But something was very wrong. In spite of all of the outward successes and all of the religious involvement, Cornelius had missed the most important thing. He was lost. He had never been saved. He had never accepted Christ. His success did not satisfy him. His religion could not bring peace to his troubled heart. His giving to charities and to the needy did not settle the storm that raged in his soul. He was lost. He had never been born again. And the consequences of sin and the condemnation of sin troubled his soul and his spirit. May I say this morning that Cornelius is a picture of many people in America today. I'm amazed. You go down knocking doors, street after street, and it's hard to find a person that will say, I'm lost. Everybody is religious. But I want you to know, underneath that religion, in most of the people, there is no peace. There is no certainty. There is no assurance. They're troubled, just as Cornelius was troubled. And they're troubled because of the same reason. Though they may be religious, though they may have their name on a church roll somewhere, they've never been saved. And there is no way a person can have peace and fulfillment and joy and satisfaction when we're missing the most important ingredient of our life, the one who is life, the one who is joy, the one who is peace. Until we receive Him into our heart and our life, there'll be an empty, black hole in our soul that this world cannot fill. Secondly, I want you to know there's a God in heaven who cared about Cornelius. And that same God cares about me and you this morning also. God cared about Cornelius. He saw him. He saw him doing what he knew to do. But Cornelius didn't know how to get saved. He just didn't know how. And may I say, that's the reason most people are going to hell. Most people are not going to hell because they've rejected God. Most people are going to hell not because they want to. They're going to hell because they're not saved and they don't know how to get saved. Cornelius was trying to do religious things. He was trying to do good things. He just didn't know how to get saved. Let me tell you what Cornelius was doing. He was using what light he had. And when we use what light we have, God will give us more light. God said, Cornelius, I want you to send some people over to Joppa, to the house of Simon the Tanner. There's a man named Peter there, and Peter will come and tell you what God wants you to do to be saved. When he used what light he has, God gave him more light. Over in Croatia, there was somebody that wanted to know Jesus, and God sent the Holy Spirit to move on the heart of Brother and Mrs. Leslie to go to Croatia with the gospel, and multitudes have been saved over the years. God had some people in Romania that was using what light they had. They were trying to be religious, but they didn't know God. And God moved on the heart of Brother and Miss Ingram to go to Romania and tell the gospel story to them that they might be saved. There were people in Brazil using what light they had, but they didn't know how to get saved. And God moved on the heart of a John Hinton and Connie Hinton to go with the gospel to Brazil because He wanted people there to get saved. may I say, some of you here today are in the same condition of Cornelius. And God brought you here today so you could hear this simple message. He wanted you to hear a man tell you from the Bible how you too can be saved and have life everlasting. I'm trying to tell you, there is a God in heaven that cared about Cornelius. There is a God in heaven that cares about you and wants you to be saved. In Luke 16, the rich man had died and gone to hell and was in torments in the flames, and he was begging that God would send somebody back from the dead to his brothers, lest they die and come to hell also. And God said, no. They have Moses and the prophets. They have the writer of the scripture and the prophets and the preachers. Let them hear them. God's plan is that he'll use a man, a woman, to tell others about Jesus so they can get saved. So God said, Cornelius, you go to Joppa and go to Peter and tell Peter to come to your house so he can tell you how to be saved. God has not altered his plan. His plan is still a Christian telling those who are lost how to get saved. God has no substitute for the preacher and the soul winner, the ones who will tell you about Jesus. When the black man from Ethiopia went to Jerusalem wanting to get saved, nobody there told him. He was coming back to Ethiopia in a chariot, and God spoke to a deacon, Philip, up in Samaria, and said, I want you to go out into the desert and meet this man and tell him how to get saved. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. This same God in heaven cares about you. He knows your need. He sees your heart. He knows what's missing there. He moves somebody to invite you to come today. Somebody to knock on your door. Somebody who asks you to be their guest. Come to God's house where God's man can tell you how that big empty place in your life can be filled with Jesus Christ. How you can be saved. Though Cornelius had a desire to be saved and do right, he didn't know how to get saved until the man of God told him how. He didn't know how. When Philip followed the messengers to Cornelius' house and Philip walked in, Cornelius dropped down and began to worship him. You say, oh, what a fool. He didn't know any better. He was trying to be religious, but religion without Christ equals being lost. People, religious people, will worship a man, they'll worship a totem pole, they'll worship the sun or the moon or the stars, they'll worship alligators. They make gods out of everything because they don't know any better. They've got to be taught. And Peter said, you stand up, I'm just a man like you. I've come here to tell you who to worship. I've come to introduce you to God. Oh, some of you this morning need to be introduced to the Savior. Cornelius was lost. You know why he was lost? Because he's a sinner. And he's a sinner because he's lost. Now, you say, but I've not done that much. Well, let me tell you, you get your sin nature from your daddy. That's what the Bible says. It was passed from Adam on. And then because of that sin nature, when we get old enough to make our own decisions, we choose to sin. So every one of us are sinners by birth and sinners by choice. And because of our sin nature, we're sinners. And because of our sinning nature, we sin. And we're lost. Without Jesus Christ, we're lost. Even though he was trying to be a good man, by worldly standards, and even though he was religious, he was lost. The Bible says he was condemned already because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He had never been saved the Bible way. And listen to me. You cannot make up your mind to formulate your own ideas about salvation. Anything you formulate that's not what God has provided amounts to zero in God's eyes. God has one way of salvation. And that way of salvation is through Jesus Christ, His Son, that came down to this world, was tempted in all points as we are tempted. Yet without sin, He went to the old rugged cross and was crucified. And God judged our sins in Jesus. They buried Him 3 days and 3 nights right on time, like He promised He arose from the dead, with salvation for all who will believe. There is no other way of salvation. You say, how about the Old Testament? How about the lambs that were slaughtered? They were but pictures of Jesus that was to come. And Jesus did come. He has come. He's alive today at the right hand of Father with forgiveness and eternal salvation available for all who will believe. My dear soul, you're here today and you don't know for sure you're going to heaven. You know for sure this morning. We can show you from the Bible how to be saved. I want you to know you can't cure your sinful heart yourself. You can't change your habits and become a Christian. It's not our prayers that save us. It is by faith accepting Jesus as Savior that saves us. Many are trying to solve your sin problem by other means. Trying to save yourself is like me going to the junkyard, buying a junked, wrecked automobile, painting it on the outside, hoping that the transmission, the engine, and all the parts will work. No, changing the appearance of the outside doesn't fix the problem. Trying to save yourself is like having a well that's polluted, contaminated. And you decide you're going to purify the water by painting the pump house white. No, the problem's not the pump house, it's the water. The problem's not your outward man, it's your inward man. You're a sinner, you're lost. You must be born again. And the only way you can be born again is by accepting Jesus as your Savior. God sent a man to point Cornelius to Jesus. Simon told him right up front that God was no respecter of persons. He said, what does that mean? It means that God didn't have salvation for Simon Peter, not for Cornelius. He does not have salvation for people in the Bible days and not for us today. No, He's no respecter of person. What was available for them is available to us. We can be just as saved as the apostles were saved, as Cornelius was after he got saved. We can be just as saved as Nicodemus was after he got saved. We can be just as saved as Paul was after he got saved. God is no respecter of person. You go through the Word of God and you find people in great need who came to Jesus. He never turned one of them away. He's never turned a lost sinner away that honestly wanted to be saved. He said, all who come unto me, I'll not cast one out. God has promised that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to know God is able and God is ready to save sinners. He is no respecter of persons. He is a mighty God. The Bible tells us in verse 38 that He's anointed by God. He is the chosen of God. He is the Savior of God. He is the Messiah. He's the one that can save sinners. He's mighty to save. He is so mighty that death yielded its victim when Jesus spoke and said, Lazarus, come forth. He is so mighty that diseases fled at His command. He is so mighty that storms would cease and the waves would be calm when He spoke. And may I say, He is so mighty that the most vile sinner can be cleansed and forgiven through Jesus Christ if we'll accept Him by faith. He is no respecter of persons. Peter told Cornelius that He was a compassionate Christ. He didn't turn people away. He opened His arms to receive those who would come to Him by faith. He proclaimed that Jesus was the suffering one, that His suffering on the cross was not the product of a bunch of angry men crucifying Jesus. His suffering on the cross was the will of God for me and you, in order that God might have our sin debts paid for in Christ Jesus, and we could be saved. He preached Jesus the exalted one. He that was nailed to the cross, that was buried in a tomb, arose from the grave and is at the right hand of the Father today, with salvation available for all who will call upon Him. He proclaimed Jesus the saving one. The saving one. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. Now notice, let's analyze that very quickly as we conclude the message. Peter is sent by God to tell Cornelius how to be saved. And here's what he tells him. He says, Cornelius, all the prophets witness. All of the Old Testament, all of the Scripture declares that through Jesus' name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. Now he tells him in that statement how to be saved. The sinner is to believe on Jesus Christ to save him. The sinner is to quit depending on his own abilities. He's to quit trying to save himself. And by simple faith, he's to put his trust and dependence on Jesus. Why, Paul summed it up a little bit differently in Romans. He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, just ask Him. Just ask Him. And He'll save you. That's His promise. Believe. It doesn't mean believe that there is a God. It means to believe that there is a God who sent His Son to die for your sins. And that Son is the Savior. And in Him, in Christ, there is forgiveness of sin. And no other. So I believe. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe He arose from the dead for my justification. I believe that salvation is available for me. And I need it. You know what Cornelius did? He accepted it. He didn't turn his back on it. He didn't say, well, I can't believe it's that simple. You know why it's that simple? Because God did it all. He paid it all. He planned it. He purchased it. He gives us as a gift. And all we have to do is receive it, accept it. And it's so complete and so available that God has said, whosoever believeth shall have remission of sin. The Savior's Jesus. We receive it by believing on Him. Putting our trust and faith in Jesus alone. You know, when we do that, you know what happens? God performs the new birth. The Holy Spirit quickens our old dead spirit and we're made alive unto God. We can have a relationship with God. We become a child of God. Our name's written in heaven's book. We're passed from death, the condemnation of our sin, to life eternal because of Jesus Christ. We become a child of God and an heir to God. Heaven's not any longer some distant place we have no hope of. Hell has become that distant place that we'll never have to worry about. Heaven is now our eternal destiny. Heaven is now our home because of Jesus Christ. And you know who salvation is offered to? To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth. Didn't say just the successful person, just the white person or the black person or the oriental person, the Asian person, but whosoever. You can't go someplace, any place, where people cannot be saved if they'll trust Jesus. You cannot knock on a door. God cannot save those inside if they'll believe on Jesus. Whether it's in Africa or Brazil or Croatia or Russia or Europe or England or America, whosoever believeth. They shall be saved and receive remission of sins. You know what that means? That means all of our sins canceled out. It's forgiven. It's pardoned. It's paid for. It's blotted out of heaven's book. It's blotted out of God's mind. It'll never be remembered again by God. And that person is saved by God's grace. Saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And saved forever. Forever. This was Cornelius's great need. But may I say to you, this is every man, woman, boy, and girl's great need also. And the question this morning is not, are you successful? It's not, are you religious? It's not even, are you a good person? The question this morning is, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior the Bible way? Have you been born again? Only when you accept Jesus the Bible way can you know that you're saved. And can you have peace within? Only when you accept Jesus, God's Savior for sinners, is that old empty, ugly, black hole in your soul filled with His person, with His love, and with His assurance. Our need is Jesus. How many of you can say to me this morning, Pastor Smith, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I'm 100% sure if I should die today, I've got a home in heaven. I know it beyond a doubt. I'm saved, and I know it. If you can say that, would you slip your hand up right now? Oh, what a wonderful sight. Most everybody in here could raise their hands. And I'm glad. But I saw some of you who could not raise your hand. And I want you to know the God that loved Cornelius and the God that loved me and the God that loved and saved these also loves you and wants to save you. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed and every eye closed. No one's looking around. Maybe you're here.